Our own condition brings to mind the apocryphal story from 1899, when the head of the U.S. Patent Office resigned because he deemed that there was nothing left to discover, except that on that day, the resignation would be justified. Such claims are not uncommon. For instance, the physicist Albert Michelson imagined toward the end of the 19th century that what was left for us to discover in the sciences of nature was no more than fine-tuning our precisions by a few decimal places. Popper was not the first to go after the limits to our knowledge. In Germany, in the late 19th century, Émile du Bois-Reymond claimed that ignoramus et ignorabimus, we are ignorant and will remain so. Somehow his ideas went into oblivion, but not before causing a reaction. The mathematician David Hilbert set to defy him by drawing a list of problems that mathematicians would need to solve over the next century. Even Du Bois-Reymond was wrong. We are not even good at understanding the unknowable. Consider the statements we make about things that we'll never come to know. We confidently underestimate what knowledge we may acquire in the future. Auguste Comte, the founder of the school of positivism, which is unfairly accused of aiming at the scientization of everything in sight, declared that mankind would forever remain ignorant of the chemical composition of the fixed stars. But as Charles Sanders Peirce reported, the ink was scarcely dry upon the printed page before the spectroscope was discovered, and that which he had deemed absolutely unknowable was well on the way of getting ascertained. Ironically, Comte's other projections concerning what we would come to learn about the workings of society were grossly and dangerously overstated. He assumed that society was like a clock that would yield its secrets to us. I'll summarize my argument here. Prediction requires knowing about technologies that will be discovered in the future. But that very knowledge would almost automatically allow us to start developing those technologies right away. Ergo, we don't know what we will know. Some might say that the argument, as phrased, seems obvious, that we always think that we have reached definitive knowledge, but don't notice that those past societies we laugh at also thought the same way. My argument is trivial, so why don't we take it into account? The answer lies in a pathology of human nature. Remember the psychological discussions on asymmetries and the perception of skills in the previous chapter? We see flaws in others and not in ourselves. Once again, we seem to be wonderful at self-deceit machines. The Nth Billiard Ball. Henri Poincaré, in spite of his fame, is regularly considered to be an undervalued scientific thinker, given that it took close to a century for some of his ideas to be appreciated. He was perhaps the last great thinking mathematician, or possibly the reverse, a mathematical thinker. Every time I see a T-shirt bearing the picture of the modern icon Albert Einstein, I cannot help thinking of Poincaré. Einstein is worthy of our reverence, but he has displaced many others. There's so little room in our consciousness. It's winner-take-all up there.